It's very simple, but something that I had to come to an understanding of. Nothing is set in stone. You make a decision. It doesn't work out. You don't love it. Okay? So change. Change it. Do something else. Wow. Well, everyone, it's Camille. I have been out of the podcast game for, oh my gosh, a while now. I don't even know when the last time I put an episode up. But I'm back. And there is a reason behind my returning, an intentional decision to come back to a space that really, it scares me because I am afraid. I really am afraid to put myself out there. Just worrying that I will look silly and that I will put all this stuff out here with a really genuine intention to simply share with others and help those and support people out there, but come off silly and as if I'm a know-it-all and as if, you know, I could really help people. Like, come on. You know, it's kind of that kind of self-talk with myself. So I really have to rein in the imposter syndrome and remember my goal through podcasting. And it has always been from the very beginning to be a voice to those who need it. And so that's why I'm back here. I'm back here because a few people messaged me about the episode. I started taking Zoloft, which was what it was called. That has been my most listened to episode. Again, not a ton. Let's not, you know, it's not on the million scale, but it was over 1,000 listens. Is that how you say it? Listens? I don't think that's really it, but that's okay. We'll just stick with listens. So that, I just found that out this morning, actually, as I was gearing up to record this podcast. I was like, oh, well, let me just see how many people have listened. And I looked and I thought it was going to be in the hundreds. And I looked and what? Over 1,000? Okay. This is worth a visit, a revisit on my part. And so that's why I'm here. And I feel really pulled. One person in particular messaged me and said that the information that I provided through my own experience in the I Started Zoloft episode was really informational and helpful for his wife. And one, I think it's really cool. He told me he sought out information on Google and that's how he found my podcast. One, I told him, wow, thank you so much for reaching out to me. But even more so, kudos, cheers. Cheers to you. Fist bump. All the fist bumps to you for taking the time to, one, acknowledge that your wife needed support and help. But there's a difference between hearing and listening and acknowledging that somebody that you love needs help. And it's a whole other thing to show up and to support them, even possibly if they didn't even verbalize it. Now I don't know his case, his wife could have come to him and communicated. That wasn't my point. My point was on his side, it's really admirable and respectable that he took the time to support his wife in this way. And all that to say, he found me and he reached out to me. I appreciated it so much because at that time I was questioning whether I should come back and start, you know, taking this podcasting a little bit more seriously. And I do feel that I have a voice and I don't know. Even though I fought it, I do feel like I need to be here. I need to do this. So let's get into it. This is my follow-up episode to I Started Taking Zoloft. And this one I have named, "So You're Thinking About Taking Zoloft?" And in this episode, I kind of want to cover my experience, where I'm at now, why I decided to take Zoloft in the first place, etc., etc., and also touch base with how you're feeling. Are you scared, but you need help? You kind of feel out of control, to the point where you just want to crawl into your bed and not get out, you know, even though you want to still be around people inside and inside of you, you really still desire all that, but you cannot figure out how to show up right now. I feel you. And then also I'm going to talk about, would I change anything, any choices that I made in this journey? And yeah, we'll wrap it all up. Okay, so I want to say, my experience with Zoloft. So this is my own personal experience with taking it. So I took it, how long ago was it now? I'm just going to guess that it was, well, I should have looked at the date of the episode, but when I had posted the episode, that was around the time when I had started it. And I took it for about 6 months. And at that point, I felt like I was spiraling out of control. I could not figure out a way to get a grasp on how I was feeling, what my body was doing, and what my mind seemed to be just to be taking over, and I had no control. That's how I felt, and it was debilitating. In the last episode, I started taking Zoloft was the title. If you want to go back to it, if you haven't heard it yet, I would definitely recommend listening to it after this or before finishing this one. But anyways, I had explained that I had a list of health complications. For instance, my gastrointestinal health was a wreck. I had to use the bathroom all of the time, and it was just a disaster. You know, I'd have accidents in the drop-off line at school, and gosh, I'd get home and I just wanted to cry. Like, I had to clean out my car and clean myself up like I was a baby. Like, it was, I don't want to get into the TMI too much, because listening back to the last episode, I cringed a lot at how freely I spoke about poo. There was a point where I was listening to that episode and I was thinking in my head, Camille, honestly, did you have to go, you know, so whatever, you know, you live, you learn. Anyways, so my gastrointestinal health was terrible. My mental health was just whacked out. I was having panic attacks when I went to the grocery store. Just anything could set me off, and I didn't know why. I kept questioning myself, which added to the anxiety and probably spurred on more panic attacks. Why is this happening to me? Why is this happening to me? This doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. I used to be able to do things normally and not freak out and not start sweating and then have my mind racing and then feeling like I was going to throw up and then just feeling the dramatic, forceful need to get out of whatever situation I was in. And it was like a switch. As soon as I left the situation that induced panic, really wasn't the situation that did it, obviously. It was me, you know, not knowing, not having the tools to gain control of my mind and my breathing. But as soon as I would leave the situation, for instance, at the grocery store, I would walk out of the grocery store. It was like a big sigh of relief. I could breathe again. I wasn't going to faint. And it was like a switch. So after some time, I thought, well, that's weird. I really wasn't dying, because as soon as I left the grocery store, I was perfectly fine. Like, I needed to recuperate a little bit, you know, but I was fine. I didn't feel this need to escape and like I was going to literally fall on the floor and die and need EMTs to come and save me. I mean, these are things that come into your mind. And if you deal with panic and anxiety, you also may have experienced this as well. You start to have these thoughts in this cycle of panic, and it adds fuel to the fire. It's really not good. But unless you have the tools to take it by the balls, I mean, why not? And just say, stop. I know how to deal with this. Get off my back. then it just spirals. It spirals until, you know, you're freaking out. And I've been there many times. So, really bad health, And, you know, mind-body connection, I now fully, well, not fully, but I understand it a lot better that there is a mind-body connection. It's not just that I have IBS. No, it's that I have this gastrointestinal issue right now because of blank. And it's, in my experience, is usually something under the surface emotionally that has not yet been faced, has not been fully grasped, is not fully understood, comprehended, and worked through. And even just acknowledging an issue is a lot of the work behind recovering. So that brought me to essentially being forced into therapy. I was at my wit's end. Our children were suffering because I couldn't show up for them the way that I wanted to, but also that they needed me to. I felt very shut down, like I was incapable. I was so tired. I was exhausted beyond belief. And it just was so self-defeating. Like, not only was I having panic attacks every time I walked out of the house, it seemed, but then also I felt so disappointed in myself. And it was just, there was just a lot of self-loathing. Like, I can't even go to the grocery store. And now I don't feel up to doing XYZ with the kids, just anything simple at home, because I'm just exhausted by this vicious cycle of trying to keep up with my mind and my body, but failing. It was really horrific. I mean, I remember times just crying and crying. Crying alone to myself in the closet, crying to Matt, my husband, saying, I don't know what to do. And so I got to a point where I realized that there had to be something else wrong. After I had all the medical tests, you know, blah, 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 I decided, well, it has to be something else. I really need to go talk to somebody and get some extra support. And I decided to do that. And that was about a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years ago at max, I think. And I started seeing my therapist, which was a bit of a journey to get to because it can be really hard to find a therapist. I mean, well, no, it's easy to find a bunch of them, I think, but it's hard to find a good one that will actually serve you and where you're at. And I think there's a lot of good therapists, but as far as the, you know, that specific person who can help you with your specific set of needs and issues, that's a different thing. So it can take some time. So I will say, definitely, if you're in this boat where you're just fearful of even trying because it gives you anxiety, you just have to. And you have to kind of test out therapists sometimes. I know that I have. I've had a couple different ones. And it wasn't until I found this one. Whew, man, she has helped me immensely. I mean, man, if I had not started therapy, I would not be here talking into the mic. I mean, I don't even know where I'd be. It was a pivotal moment of change that was very necessary for me. So, let me backtrack a little bit. So, yes, therapy was part of this along with the Zoloft. So, I started taking Zoloft. Now, the side effects, because many of you have reached out, or many people, many listeners have reached out and asked me, well, what are the side effects? You know, I'm a little worried about this and this because I've heard there are side effects. Well, I will tell you this, I'm not a doctor. I'm also not a therapist. I'm not very educated or informed on different medications and what they do and how they differ between people, because it also has to do with your own bodily makeup, your DNA. You know, things work better for others than they do for others, you know. But the side effects for me just because I want to be completely transparent with you. And again, remember that this can differ from one person to the next. And I believe that my doctor did mention, warn me that this could be the case. But I also Googled side effects of Zoloft way too much before I started taking it. And I kind of freaked myself out. So I don't know. Anxiety. So the side effects, the first night experience was a little rocky. So it wasn't terrible. It wasn't the, well, it was pretty not fun. I'll be honest. So I woke up in the middle of the night, fully drenched in sweat and like fully panicked. It was weird. And I didn't know why. Like I couldn't go back to sleep. It was like, bing, my eyes were wide open and my mind was just racing. And I assume it's because the new medication was entering my bloodstream and was now having the effect on my brain that that it's intended to have. I can only assume, again, I'm not a doctor. And it was not fun. But I got up. I went to the freezer and got my little ice roller, which I use and still use a lot for anxiety. And it served as a shock to my system. And I just started rolling it on my face and on my head and even on my chest and my arms. And that brought me back to having more control over my breathing. And I got past it. And then I woke up in the morning and told my husband, oh, well, that was really weird. I didn't like that at all. And I did not want to take it again. But my husband said, you really need to try to give this a chance because one dose isn't going to do anything for you. You know, didn't your doctor say that it would take a bit to kick in? And I was forced to acknowledge that fact, even though I was really fearful and anxious about trying it again that evening. But I did. And I did not have the same experience the second night or the third night or the fourth night. So that is one point I did want to make. The side effects differ between people. I've heard that some people are not affected at all, and some people have similar experiences to me. Some also, you know, may get a little nauseous or whatever. But that was my experience. So do be aware of that. If your doctor has mentioned possibly getting you on Zoloft or you've been considering it, just keep that in mind. But you know, it's easier said than done, but do your best to not, oh, I don't know, let it take over your thoughts as far as the fear, because these things are temporary. It didn't last for me. Whatever side effect that you may have beginning, it will not last forever. So just rest in that knowledge, at least. Now, what do I think that Zoloft did for me? So what I will say that Zoloft did for me when I was in such a chaotic place in my mind where I could not gather my thoughts, I could not gain control. It almost was like it was out of my hands. I tried everything. I tried yoga. I tried, you know, granted this was when I first started therapy. So there is a different, you know, that I have to remember that as well. I was trying different things. Excuse me. I think I need a little water. Okay. Basically, I was just trying. I was Googling all these things. How can I, you know, fix my anxiety? Haha. But it was gone. It was out of my hands. I could not grasp it because I did not have the tools that I needed. They were not readily in my tool belt. So I was just grasping at straws and not getting anything because I didn't have the groundwork. I didn't have the foundation. So of course I felt like I was all over the place and had no control. So in this moment, I had to put my white flag up, SOS, like help me. And I firmly believe that I needed a reset. And if that meant medication, which it did in my experience, that was the answer for me at that time. So I started it, got past the one night of side effects. And what I noticed in the following 6 months was that it did serve as a reset. It balanced me out, which I needed. I needed, let's call it, I think that medications can really act as an emergency support. So if you find yourself in a mental space and a physical place where you cannot get a hold of the issue, the underlying issue, right now, in this moment, because you don't have the tools yet to make it there to that issue, to even confront it and start to work through it, then I really do believe that a medication like Zoloft can act as your lifeline, you know, your lifeguard that saves you from drowning. So I started to notice that my panic attacks lessened. My anxiety lessened. Now, I won't say they went fully away. That would be a lie because I still struggle with anxiety and panic. I haven't had a full-blown panic attack since that time, a couple years ago. But I definitely still have to stop them. And now I have a lot more education on it and I know how to do it, but it still is a struggle for me. So I just want you to know that this wasn't a fix-all. And all the steps I took after Zoloft were not a fix-all. But Zoloft did act as a tool for me in that moment when I had nothing else. Or at least I felt I didn't, or I didn't even know what next step to take. This is key, I think. Because I think a lot of us want to have the quote-unquote right answers, the educated choice, you know, before we make any decisions. Well, that's just not possible sometimes. Sometimes it is, but it's very rare that any of us will face anything in front of us in life and be able to make a 100% correct, quote-unquote, decision. It's just, you know, life is full of just taking chances or deciding to do something just to see what happens. Because it's all that we can do at that time. And so I stopped overthinking it for the most part, and I got on Zoloft, and it did even me out. I still struggle with panic. I still struggle with anxiety. But it no longer felt like a whirlwind, a tornado that was ripping me around every day. It felt more like something under the surface that was still bubbling and that I still needed to work on to maintain control within inside of me. So yes, Zoloft, I believe, got me back to myself. Not all the way, because there were more steps I had to take, but it did bring me back to the right page, let's call it. It allowed me to have a pause so that I could then, and this is really key, so listen up, turn your volume up. If there's anything that you take from this episode, let it be this, what I'm about to say. So the Zoloft provided me with a pause so that I could face, so that I could then face my next step, which was to figure out what was going on inside of me. But that would not have been possible if I was not given some calm in my mind to be able to stop the racing thoughts, emotions. I wouldn't have been able to even, you know, even see the next step or even think about it or even consider it, you know? So that is what Zoloft did. That was what it provided for me, was a moment, was a pause. Now, moving forward, let me talk about the fact that for me, And I cannot speak for everyone because, again, disclaimer, I am not a doctor. I have not studied all of this stuff, you know, for years and years. I understand and acknowledge that everybody is different and that there are people that do need medication long term. And that's all I can say on that because I just don't have enough of the knowledge. All I can do here on this podcast really is to humbly show up and share my own experiences and my own thoughts on things. But always know that I am aware that people are case by case and we have to give people room and not make quick judgments based off of our own experiences or based off of the experience of someone we know. It can be really tempting to do that, and I do it too. But then we have to bring ourselves back in for others, for ourselves, that everybody is different. We all have to try different things to see if they work. So anyways, for me personally, Zoloft did not serve as a long-term solution. Now why? Because I want to explain why. It didn't for me because as time went on, after a few months, I realized that while it was a very helpful tool, my natural gifts, talents, whatever you want to call them, my personality seemed to be dulled. Now, I am totally right brain, artistically expressive, kind of all over the place, ADD. I've been diagnosed with that as well, but we won't touch on that really right now. But regardless, I'm just, my brain, you know, things become more joyful. Life is a better experience when I'm able to create in whatever form that means. Drawing, singing, dancing silly in the kitchen, you know, putting together outfits. You know, unique ones that feel very true to myself. Decorating our home. I love to do that. This is a side note, but I always know that I'm not in a very healthy place mentally when those things stop being enticing to me. So anyways, that's something to note and to pay attention to in your journey. Notice when you feel off. Acknowledge it. But anyways, back to what I was saying. So as I started to notice that I felt dulled, like Camille was less shiny. I thought to myself, okay, well, yes, I feel a lot calmer. My mind's not racing, but I seem to have lost my glittery sparkle for the things that I used to love. Why is that? And I let it play out longer and longer. I noticed I kind of had to force myself to do the things that I naturally enjoyed before taking Zoloft. And so I let it go for another few months. And around this time was when, you know, I was seeing a therapist more regularly. And I'm becoming more aware that long-term, a drug like Zoloft is sertraline, also known as that, and it is an SSRI, and many of you may already know this, but from my understanding, SSRIs are supposed to treat depression by basically increasing levels of serotonin in the brain, but like any, you know, foreign chemical or medication that's introduced into your body, it's not doing, and again, I'm not a doctor, so please don't quote me on this, but from my understanding, it's not going to be doing what your body naturally does itself, which therefore is why there are side effects to medication. The SSRIs block the reabsorption of serotonin into neutrons. So from my understanding, that means that it's changing something, the process that your body does. Serotonin is deactivated and the synapse or whatever those are called by reuptake
into the I'm looking at Google. Oh my gosh, I'm trying to sound smart, y'all, and I'm just stumbling over my words. Okay. Basically, SSRI blocks the uptake of serotonin, thus increasing the activation of serotonin receptors. So yes, this can be a good thing, especially for people who, like me, have found themselves in desperate situations where they can no longer function in life properly. By properly, I mean just there's just no, you know, you're just out of control. So that's what SSRIs do. So long term, from my understanding, in order to educate myself more, I started to read a lot about SSRIs, read about other people's experiences to get maybe just a wide range of, you know, reviews on sertraline, on Zoloft, to understand it better, because it was in my body and I want to be informed about what is in my body, what I'm taking. And as time went on and as I realized that it was kind of numbing who I was, I made the decision to go off of it and just see what happened. Just see what happened. And that was a little scary. It was not a little scary. It was a lot scary. But in that moment, it's the choice that I decided to make, because I started to realize that maybe for me, this was a tool that I could use, that I used short term to help me get back to myself. And that long term, it could actually, the negative side effects could outweigh the benefits for me at the point that I was at, anyways. And so I stopped taking it. And from my memory, I don't think I experienced a lot of side effects. Okay, well, no, that's not entirely true. So I do remember for about a week and a half, feeling almost like my brain was not spasming. That sounds terrifying. It was not on that level. But like it was, oh gosh, how do I even explain this? It's so hard to explain this experience. But almost like for like a second, my brain was like trying to recalibrate or something. And so then it made me like blink my eyes a couple times. And then it was done. And that did happen for about a week and a half after coming off of it. And now, to be clear, I weaned myself off of this. Please, if it's never advised to just stop. I mean, that's your choice, you know? But I advise, don't ever just go cold turkey. Not with an SSRI. That's dangerous, in my opinion. So even with tapering off of it and I looked up how to taper off, but not only that, I asked my doctor and she told me the exact dosage to do, to go. And it worked. Aside from the random little times where I may have felt like a little bit off, a little bit nauseous, because it's just different. Your brain is trying to go back to the normal way of doing things. So it'll just feel imbalanced for a bit. But then I stayed off of it. And things kind of had a way of balancing out. And I started to notice that I got back some of my original interests. And I felt a little bit more creative again. It took me a long time, though. And I still feel like I'm coming out of that in a way. It's only until recently that I felt, you know, alive again enough to be motivated and inspired to get back to the things that I love. For instance, taking photos. As a hobby, I like photography. And drawing is a new love of mine, which actually I used to do when I was a kid and I like totally forgot that I loved it so much. But my son draws all the time and I just sat down with him and drew with him, which he loved. And I realized, oh my gosh, I used to do this all the time. I used to fill, you know, pages with my drawings, and it just brought back something to me. So anyways, and other things, decorating the house again, etc. And I also was still seeing my therapist every week. Every week. I was committed to seeing her every week. And now I still see her every other week. So twice a month. So yes, Zoloft did serve as a tool for me. It saved me. in that moment, but only, it only served me as so far as to take me to my next step. My next step was seriously taking therapy, making it a priority. And for a while, therapy was my priority. And it had to be, because I had to figure out a way to dig myself out of the hole that I found myself in. And it required work, and it required a dedication to showing up, to not ghost my therapist, which I have done many times in the past. I even told my therapist that. It's like, just so you know, just so you're aware, I ghost my therapists after a while when I start to get afraid and have to do work on myself because it scares me and I don't want to make a change. And she clocked that and wrote that down. And I believe there's been a couple of times when I've been like, oh, you know, my kid's sick or whatever. And she still tries to make it work because I think she's aware that this is what Camille does. So let's make sure that she's not just flaking out on me. So anyways, I stuck with therapy, still am in therapy. Now, what therapy did for me, I was able to start really honing in on the things that made me feel uncomfortable. And I didn't even know what made me feel uncomfortable until I started working through them. My therapist introduced me to this book called Love is a Choice. It's a workbook. It says letting go of unhealthy relationships. And when I first got it in the mail, and she advised that that's what she works through with people who tend to be dealing with the same struggles as me, which was, you know, low self-confidence, kind of victim mentality, exhausted, all the issues I was having, a codependency on others. And she said, I want you to read, work through this book with me. And when I first got it, I was like, love is a, what? Letting go of unhealthy, what? Unhealthy relationships. What does this have to do with me? Well, as we started working through, it became more and more apparent what the underlying issues were that I had been carrying around with me for years, I guess since I was a child onward, that I had never really faced. I had never allowed myself to face. I was too afraid to, or other people didn't, you know, embrace me being honest about things, et cetera, et cetera. So this, my therapist and this workbook were absolutely life-changing. They helped me to hone in on the issues. So I took Zoloft. I went off Zoloft. I felt more balanced, but I still wasn't there. So then I honed in on my problems, and they were laid out for me in my face. It was very uncomfortable. Very uncomfortable. I mean, geez, this is why people struggle with staying consistent with healing and therapy and, you know, making changes in their life overall, because it's scary and it hurts. It doesn't feel good to make these decisions and these choices. It's like your heart is being ripped out of your body and like thrown on the floor and then stomped on. I mean, literally, it can feel like that when you start to unravel, you know, your traumas. You know, I didn't even consider that I was holding on to trauma before. It seemed very overreactive or dramatic to even consider that I could have had trauma. And trauma, it sounds a lot more dramatic than it actually is. I mean, there's a spectrum of it, of course. I'm not going to belittle someone's very heavy, you know, trauma. I'm not wording this correctly, but I think you know what I'm trying to say. But trauma, there's a spectrum of it. So trauma is just something that has affected you, from my understanding anyways. Trauma is something that something affected you negatively along the way in life. And it's something that you then were kind of forced to carry with you. And so that trauma that you're carrying from that negative experience or several experiences or relationship in your life or your family life or whatever it could have been, or even a health trauma, medical trauma, all kinds. kind of forced to carry it with you from then on. And it's something that I now understand has to be looked at seriously and dealt with. Because if it's not, that trauma can morph into other ugly things. Addiction, codependency, depression, anxiety, panic attacks. I mean, I don't know. Again, I'm not a doctor, but I assume that, you know, narcissism, you know, and I don't like using that word. It's so like thrown around these days, but just, you know, trauma can morph into other problems if they're not handled, faced, handled, worked through regularly, maybe even for the rest of your life. I know that I'll be dealing with my things probably for the rest of my life. Will I have healthier tools, a healthier mindset? Yes, absolutely. I've been doing the work. But I feel that I will be, you know, working through these things, checking these things, putting them back in their place until the end. I'll just say that. So along with therapy, one time a week, I was really resistant to this, but I started to journal. And this is something I used to do too. And I think it was a way of me coping and figuring out a way to deal with my feelings, my emotions growing up. And it was a great tool then. It became an even better tool now with, you know, more clear awareness. I resisted it at first, but as I started writing, I realized, oh my gosh, I really am working through a lot of things just by writing it out. There's a lot of power in the written word in writing versus speaking sometimes, at least for me. I don't know if any of you can understand where I'm coming from, but your mind is able to process things if they're written out, and then you can reread them and reference them from time to time, especially when you feel upset or frustrated by something. Now I go to my journal and I write, why am I triggered by this person right now and what they just said or did? And then as I begin to write it out, I'm able to unpack it bit by bit. And by the end, I've calmed down a lot more because I see more clearly exactly what happened and why. And then I have a step forward, an actionable step. So through journaling, I've been able to confront the ways I tend to react and why, retrain my brain. That's very important, is the retraining. And that's one of the hardest parts because your brain gets used to certain cycles of reacting, certain actions, certain ways of confronting or not confronting things that happen. And we get triggered and then we have a default. Well, sometimes those defaults aren't healthy. And I can say that for my part, because I had a lot of unhealthy coping mechanisms, a lot. So in learning why and learning to retrain my brain, I was then able to understand that I can take control. You know, I'm not a asteroid in space, just, you know, floating around, hitting into objects. Oh no, I just can't do, I don't know, I'm just flying through space. Bam! Crash! No. Nope. If we understand the why, the how, the what, we can then learn ways. You probably hear a siren. One second. I have the windows cracked and you can hear it so nice outside. I love this time of year. Spring is coming. Anyways, the why. When we understand the why, we can retrain our brains and take control. These are three important steps. And that I had to learn these. I didn't know how to do these before. So no surprise that I was just spiraling into panics at the grocery store because I didn't even know the first step to stopping my brain. So another big thing was through therapy and journaling, I learned how to say no. So this comes into the codependency thing, severe codependency on my part where I tended to bend to the will of other people. And I tended to think less of myself in the process. Because when you're always saying yes, 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 yes to other people, to their reactions, their actions, whatever, 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 you kind of just bend to their will, no matter who it is or what it is, or it could be a situation, experience, it could be work stuff, blah, blah, blah. It doesn't matter, whatever. Whoever is around you in relationship to you, you tend to become very self-loathing and there's no self-confidence there. Because at the drop of a hat, you're like, oh, no, it's okay. It's fine. But it's not fine. Because if we really ask ourselves, is that really what I want? Is that really what I believe? Am I convicted in this? then oftentimes if we tend to show codependency, it's not really fine when we come down to it. And there's really no other way to figure this out, only through doing the work, therapy, journaling, taking a pause in life. If that means you have to say no to things, say no to them. I cannot stress this enough. You don't have to say yes to things. You don't have to help out at school. No, you don't have to be part of the PTA. You don't have to go to that book study. You don't even have to go do that thing with your friends because they wanted to. I'm not saying that you shouldn't hang out with your friends, but I think you know what I'm saying. It's okay to say no. It's okay if your husband's like, well, why don't we do this? I'd really like to do this. If you were to take a pause and be like, well, actually, that doesn't really work for me right now. Like, I respect you. I care about you. But yeah, no, no. Or even, I'm taking a pause. I'm going to think about it and I'll come back to you with my response. There's so much power in that versus saying, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Whatever. No. Of course, it's okay to do that sometimes, just to like be like, okay, whatever. Yeah, you do what you like. I'll come along for the ride, whatever. But as far as like having a core understanding of why you do that over and over again, it's really important to dissect that. I did it. It was very difficult. It caused a lot of tension in relationships with people that I love and I care about a lot, including with my husband. It was a major change that I was going through, and it was a lot for both of us. It was aggressive. And thankfully, my husband, you know, even in the hard times, would come back around and meet me there. And was willing to work with me and work with himself in becoming better together, separately with me. Very thankful for that. But anyways, that's just a side note. My point in saying that was you have to be able to give your self the space, be patient with yourself, even if that means you have to take a day to get back to somebody or get back to yourself about a problem you've been dealing with inside. Just take a day. It's okay. Just pause, put on the brakes. Don't rush to respond, react to somebody in order to just make it okay, quote unquote, okay. Because in the long run, if we continue to make those decisions and those rash, quick reactions, it's going to pile up inside of us and cause resentment, bitterness, at least in my experience it did. And then as I went through the years of life, resentment built, bitterness built, I didn't know why. Why I felt unhappy, why I was having panic attacks. Well, it's because I didn't understand the core issues that I had inside of me, the why, the what, the how. I had to do the work to retrain my brain and to take control. And this is stuff I'm still working on. I'm still working on my reactions, my codependency, my tendency to seek validation from other people. I'm still working on all these things. And sometimes I do have to leave the grocery store and take deep breaths still. Now I tend to push through it and try to just stop and take a breath. On my Apple Watch, they have that breath app. I click that and I feel kind of embarrassed because I'm like, oh my gosh, where do people see that I'm doing the breath? What do they think? I'm a maniac or weirdo? But you know what? Oh well. If that's what you need, use the tools that you have for your benefit. So I turn on the breathing app and it brings me back to myself because it distracts me. Or I pinch myself. Just something to bring me back. Anyways, so through learning how to say no, and then also, this is another thing, making myself say yes, because that's also a thing. When I recognize that it could be something that could be of benefit. For example, pushing myself to do scary things. Now, I don't mean jumping out of an airplane. No, thank you. my sister and my dad are like that. My stepdad are like that. But no, not me. I just mean things that I am anxious about. Like I don't want to go and meet that friend, that new friend, for a walk, because it makes me anxious, you know, to be social in that way with somebody I don't know. What are they going to think of me? Are they going to like me? You know, these things, these internal things that we tell ourselves. So now I try really hard when I feel that it's right and that it will be good for me and that I can say yes without, you know, inside fully feeling that I should have actually said no to something that would not benefit me, that would be a negative, that would take away from me. I try to say yes to the things that, even though I may be scared of them, they will push me to a better place. They will enlighten me, or they will educate me, or they will help me to feel connected with other people, things like that. So now I know how to say no, and I also know how to say yes. And wrapping this all up in this little section about where I'm at now, I now have a way better understanding of boundaries. And boundaries emotionally, physically, spiritually, in friendships, in my marriage, and even with our kids. Boundaries were not – it's not that they weren't a thing, but I was not fully aware of them, what they meant, what their benefits were, why we would need to – why I would, why Matt and I with our kids would need to put in place boundaries. I just didn't have a healthy view of them. I didn't understand them. I didn't understand the benefits of being clear, concise, and having a firm boundary with people that I'm in relationship with. But it's imperative. And I know that boundaries are thrown all over social media now and all the self-help and, you know, people all over social, which is great. I think it's great that we're talking about this stuff, mental health, but there is a lot of it out right now. And you probably see boundaries everywhere. It's like, okay, eye roll. Like, I get it. I do. But I don't know if there's any other way to say it, you know? And boundaries, especially for somebody who deals with a lot of anxiety, panic, codependency, it's really, really, they really are imperative to understand and to put in place. Another thing, instead of always doubting myself or feeling ashamed for feeling sad, angry, annoyed, instead of feeling shame about that, because that used to be my default emotion and reaction to things, I have learned how to hear myself and to stop primarily focusing on what others are saying, or not even saying, but what I think they might say about me or to me. And also, I'm more aware of my own reactions. And what do I mean by that? Like, what I have said to somebody. It's about that realization of, man, I have value. Even if I'm not perfect all the time, if I react negatively, badly to somebody else, I still have value. My feelings are worth acknowledging and being acknowledged. Even if I have complicated emotions and baggage, I am allowed to communicate who I am to others. Yes, it may cause some tension. Yes, they may not receive it well. They may walk away and give you the middle finger. Yes, all these things could happen. But it doesn't change the fact that you are allowed to communicate these things regardless of how they may react, regardless of how badly you handle it, because you can always backtrack and apologize and try again. But the important thing for me was to acknowledge that I'm allowed. I held a lot in. I held a lot back. Because I felt ashamed, like I couldn't do it. Because, oh my gosh, if I did that, disaster! You know? But it doesn't have to be that way. And I'm still learning that, especially in regards to how to communicate and present my feelings, needs, etc., I have to continue, like I've mentioned, retraining my brain to not jump to reacting. Because I do still notice that I have triggers, and the triggers just catapult me into those bad reactions, the default reactions from childhood, from, you know, my life growing up until now. Again, like I said before, it's a cycle. a cycle that your brain finds very easily to go back to. And it has to be stopped sometimes. It has to be stopped. And sometimes I don't do it. I fail in that regard. But now I understand that it's okay if I fail. It's okay if I mess up. I do not have to get it right the first time all the time. Now, does that mean I have to acknowledge and accept that I misstepped and that I may owe someone an apology, an explanation? And not only that, a communication, a verbal statement of, I am working on this and I will try to do better next time. I will do my best to do better next time. That's my goal. So these are just a lot of things that I have been learning and I still need to continue to work on. Because there is no fix-all. Zoloft wasn't a fix-all. Therapy is not a fix-all. Journaling is not a fix-all. But I'm working on it. And that's key. And I have to be at peace with where I'm at now. Just like I had to be at peace with taking Zoloft, with starting therapy, with starting to unpack all of the things inside of me that I had not faced. So yeah, it's a journey. So now, I want to speak to anybody out there who either is considering getting onto Zoloft or has a doctor that has mentioned, hey, maybe we should consider getting you onto Zoloft because of depression or anxiety, panic attacks. So are you scared? Do you need help, but you're unsure about medication? I feel you. I've been there. So I just want to say, take a deep breath if you can. And I know that it may feel forced at this time, but try. In this moment, do it with me. Take a deep breath in through your nose. Out through your mouth. And do that a few times. It will feel unnatural in the beginning, especially for those of us who have all this pent-up anxiety. Trust me, I know. I have to force myself to breathe constantly. I forget to breathe. Like, that's how ridiculous my anxiety can be. And then I want to ask you to pause and ask yourself the why. Why is it that I am considering taking Zoloft? Maybe even write it out on a piece of paper right now, or a post-it note, or on your hand, whatever. Why? What's the why behind it? Is it so that it's like a quick fix and then your life is perfect? If it's that, don't take it. Because you won't find that there. Now, if your why for considering it and for taking it is, I need help in this moment and I accept that I don't have anything else. I don't have the tools to get past this very difficult moment in my life. Stress on moment, because things can always change. But in this moment, I don't know if I have anything else that I can use to get me out of this rut. So ask yourself the why. And then weigh the pros and cons. And I don't think that you need to do this extensive list. Just do a few bullet points on each side. You know, what you believe that the pros could be for you versus what the cons may be. You know, the side effects or whatever. Just so it gives you a clearer picture as to what your intention is through, you know, considering taking a medication. And I believe that if you're getting to the point where you feel that you may need a medication, chances are it's because you really, really, really just, you want to get better. You need help. And that's okay. And also, I think this is major. And I think oftentimes human beings can think very, I don't know, just very black and white about things. For instance, either this is going to be a good thing for me or it's not. You know, or if I choose this, then this is going to be the way that it is forever and I will have to live with this decision forever. You know, that kind of thinking. Well, that's not how life and the human experience generally tends to go, right? Not in my experience anyways. And I still have a lot of life to live, but from my experience so far in my 36 years of life on this earth, things are never clear like that, no matter what it is. So repeat after me. Repeat after me. I can change my mind and do something different if this doesn't serve me. So pause, rewind, and say it again if you want. Really deep shit, guys. I know. It's very simple, but something that I had to come to an understanding of. Nothing is set in stone. You make a decision. It doesn't work out. You don't love it. Okay? So change it. Do something else. That alone has brought me a lot of peace in this process, knowing that I can change and try something different. Just because I make a decision or I react badly on this day doesn't mean that I cannot make a better or a different decision that I think may be better the next day. That's what life is all about, dears, friends. Falling, picking yourself back up, trying something else. Because the moment we fall and just stay there on the ground is a moment when we are no longer able to move forward. And that's where we get stuck, I think. And where we can kind of grab at things to make us feel better in that temporary moment. Addictions. Or negative self-thought patterns, or just really distractions, you know? We all do it. I mean, I still grasp at distractions regularly. TikTok being one of them. But we do not, I firmly believe that we are not capable as humans. We do not have to have all of the right answers, quote unquote, before we make a decision. We don't. We can shift. We can change. And through that shifting and changing and making new decisions, we learn a lot about ourselves and even those around us. So it kind of is really cool. It's like an adventure. Like, how are we supposed to have an adventure if we just, like, make the same decisions all the time over and over again? Boring. And maybe that's where depression can sometimes kick in for certain people. I know for a fact that it's me. That was me. It's cycles. Cycles over and over again. The same boring ass cycle over and over again. Until I was just like, oh my gosh. What is this life? Because I wasn't making informed new decisions to choose a different path, a different adventure. Quite frankly, life is about trying, experiencing, and then shifting our decisions and actions as we go through life. And that's the beauty of life. So if you've made it this far, kudos to you. This has been a long one, I think. I haven't looked at the timer yet, but I wanted to wrap all this up by asking, would I change what I did, which was deciding to go on Zoloft to as an attempt to use it as a tool for my betterment. And I have to say that no, even though after 6 months I decided it was not a long-term solution for me, I still say no. I wouldn't change my decision because that's what I did at the time with the tools that I had, with the understanding that I had, with the awareness that I had, with my abilities at that time. So no, I wouldn't go back. And now my feeling on that stems from allowing myself to be human, allowing myself to be able to change my mind along the road, along the way, allowing myself to decide to do something different and to try different things that may benefit me and then also those around me. So yeah, I would just say as like the closing message, and again, I'm so thankful that you were here and you were listening. Again, I suggest that you go back and listen to the part one of this, which is called I Started Taking Zoloft. I think it's a few episodes back because I have not been recording much. Just now coming back with lots of new ideas and I'm excited. But anyways, this is my final goodbye, or not final goodbye. Oh my gosh. This is my final goodbye. No. This is what I want to say. Sending off message. Just take a breath. Stay aware. Honor yourself. Give yourself space, a pause. Know that you can ask for what you want and what you need. And sometimes you really do have to fight for yourself when it comes to doctors, family members. It's important that you fight for yourself. But also, this is one of my biggest things. Sometimes you have to fight for yourself against yourself. And sometimes that just requires you making a decision and just committing to it. Even if you feel wishy-washy and full of anxiety doing it, you have to make a decision and act. Our minds are so powerful. So if we let it, it can bring us all of the way down or it can have us soaring. But it takes intentional action. It takes time, patience, giving ourselves the room, a pause to sit with these feelings and realities in our lives. So I know it's terrifying to face things and to have to be forced to work with things. I get it. I do. And a lot of times I felt bad for myself. Like, oh, why do I struggle with depression and anxiety? Other people seem to just make it through life just perfectly fine. They can pick up their milk and their bread and their Nutella, you know, without having a major breakdown. Like, okay. Shh, it's okay. We all have the things that we carry. And if you struggle with anxiety, depression, panic, that just happens to be the thing that you carry. But you don't have to let it overrun your life. You can take action. And it may take a really long time. It may take years, like it did in my case. But that's okay. We got to start somewhere. So anyways, I just want you to know that you are seen. You are heard. You're not alone. I love to hear from you. Even if it's just to vent, cry to me, honestly. Because, you know, my hand is here to reach out and to hold yours if you need it. I'm a friend, and that's precisely why I decided to pretty much begrudgingly come back to podcasting. It's been like most of my story thus far through healing and this journey, which those words also make me kind of roll my eyes, but honestly, how else do I explain it? So, you know, it's true that a lot of times the things that I resist the most are the things that I need to do. So I've been resisting this for months and months and months and months, and now I'm just like letting it happen. I think I'm gonna try. I can't make any promises, but I'm giving it an intentional try. So please reach out to me if this, you know, you heard this and you understood this. And I would just really love to hear from you. It makes my day. So also, if you have any questions for me regarding my experience or any other things that you may be going through, please reach out to me. And again, I'll put all that info in the show notes. Or the episode description, I guess, is what it's called. All right. Well, man, I don't want to leave. I feel like I've been talking to friends, even though I'm talking to myself through a mic. Oh, maybe I should go out and socialize a bit. Yeah, that's probably it. All right. Peace, love. Cheers.